Our first lesson for this Palm Sunday, the Old Testament reading from Zechariah, the 9th chapter. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on the colt, a foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please rise. Our gospel reading from the Gospel of St. John, the 12th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Now, among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. And these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has now come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there heard it and said it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. "Lord, who has believed what he heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe. Or again Isaiah said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess in the name of our Lord Jesus, amen. From our gospel lesson, John 12:32, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." It's good to see everyone this evening as we begin this very important week we call Holy Week. It is a holy week because of the great things that happened in that week long ago in Jerusalem. But it's especially a holy week because this is the very heart of our holy salvation, as well as the beginning of our holy lives. I'd like to begin with a little overview, kind of a broad overview of the ministry of Jesus. We can see the purpose of everything that he did. And then we'll take a closer look at John 12, which kind of gives us an overview of Holy Week itself. First of all, God created this world so beautiful, a world that he loved, a world that he is a part of. But because of sin and the troubles that brought into the world of suffering and death, God began to promise a Savior, a Messiah. And he created the people of Israel in order to bring that Messiah into this world. And the prophets, one by one, began to drop their prophecies that would be fulfilled by Jesus. A virgin would conceive, Isaiah said, and would call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Micah said that this shepherd king would be born in Bethlehem, a little, virtually unknown town. The prophets go on to tell us, Moses said there would be a greater prophet than even he was as a great prophet, and that we should listen to him and believe in him. Isaiah said that he would be pierced for our iniquities, and that by this righteous servant, many would be made righteous. Job said that on the last day, he would see his Redeemer standing alive. This Redeemer who would not only be raised himself, but would raise us as well. All of this is the very heart and center of the Bible. The apostles saw all of this, participated in all of this, and not only that, but Jesus gave them the Holy Spirit so they could continue what those prophets had begun as they began now to go out into all the world and to preach this reality that God has come into the world through his Son, Jesus, to save it, to give us new life through repentance and the forgiveness of sins. So let's see how this all played out on Holy Week, looking especially at John chapter 12. What I just read a few moments ago was John's kind of overview of what happened from Palm Sunday until Holy Wednesday. And as you'll see, if you look in the Bible, you'll see in chapter 13, he picks up with Maundy Thursday. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have a little bit more. We hear of the parables of Jesus, the teaching that he did in the temple. But in John, we get this sort of little overview of what all of that meant. The crowd had come out on Palm Sunday to praise Jesus because, you look at the verses right before the gospel we read, Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. And people were excited about that. And they saw Jesus as a Messiah, unfortunately not the Messiah of the Bible. They saw him as a Savior, a military type of Savior. And the Pharisees recognized that as well, and they wanted to do everything they could to put it down. But then something really unusual happens on that Palm Sunday. John tells us about it. These Greeks come, and they talk to Philip. Why Philip? Because Philip has a Greek name. He probably had some Greek connections. And these people were people who were the philosophers of the world. They were the wandering truth seekers of the world. And they had found their way to the synagogues and to those prophets and to the promise of a Messiah. And they were interested in all of this. Jesus was fulfilling the glory of God, and that's what John says happened next. Jesus prayed that God would glorify his name. That is another way of saying, Lord, fulfill your words. The word glory means to be heavy. Something is true, unmovable, cannot be undone by any kind of lie. This is the glory of God in his word and in his truth and in his promises of salvation. Jesus says that two great things would happen when he would die on the cross. One is that his death on the cross was the beginning of a judgment upon this world, and that the pseudo fake ruler of this world, the devil, would be cast out. And the other great thing that this cross of Christ would accomplish is the title of the message, that through that cross, Jesus would draw all people to himself. I'd like you to think for a moment the majesty of God. I was reading not long ago in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. There's a beautiful verse in there that talks about God and his majesty. It says that God holds the waters in the hollow of his hand, that with the span of his hand he can measure the heavens, that he calculates the dust, and that he weighs the mountains. How in the world could I, a poor, miserable sinner like I am, come to a God like that? And yet in the very verse that precedes that one about his majesty, Isaiah says that he will come and pick up his lambs and bring them close to him. This is what Holy Week is doing. This is why Jesus has come. Jesus has come to overcome the sin which makes me and you obnoxious to God. Only by the blood of that cross are we raised up from that life of sin and death and destruction. Now, John uses a word that the English translators say, draw. I will draw all people to myself. Honestly, that word's a little too light there. It is kind of the way we in our English language usually say things. But the word really kind of means more like drag. And in other places in the New Testament, that's how it's used. It's the same word that is used when a bunch of rioters in Jerusalem drug Paul, or tried to drag Paul away. It's the same word used when the nets filled with fish and they had to drag them up on the shore. James says that it is the rich who drag the poor into court. This is the word that John also uses here. And while it sounds a little harsh to us, it's probably a better translation. I will drag all people to myself. That is to say, we don't come to Jesus willingly. Salvation is his work. This is a thing that's emphasized throughout the Bible. Salvation belongs to the Lord. We don't cooperate with God because if we did, that would mean part of our salvation depended upon us. And that, of course, would be the weakest part, the part that could not stand up to the devil and all of his assaults. But because it is his salvation, because through that cross he draws us to himself, well, that's a power that no devil can overtake or overcome in any way. The chapter 12 ends with a question of believing in Jesus. Some believed, but many did not believe. And that's a pattern, again, we see throughout the Bible, beginning in the very first human family. Cain did not believe in God, but Abel did. The Bible goes on to talk about the remnant of believers rather than the vast majority of Israel. It was a small remnant. As Isaiah said, unless the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been made like Gomorrah. The reason I stand before you today as a Christian, the reason you can claim to be a Christian, is not because of the numbers of people around us who confess Christ, but because of the reality of Christ itself. What is that reality? It is this: that we know this world was created for a purpose, and that purpose was not for evil. Yet we recognize there is evil in the world, recognize that there's even evil in our own hearts and in our own lives. And we see in Jesus the only one who can lift us up out of this horrible pit to save us for heaven as well as for a holy life, until we are finally called to be in that place of paradise. Holy Week affirms the salvation that God has given to us in Christ. Jesus warns that those who reject that will experience a crushing judgment on the last day, while believers, on the other hand, are lifted up. Just as the cross was lifted up, so God lifts us up to be his people. Would you like to meet Jesus? Does even a question like that make you a little nervous? It should make you a little bit nervous. Are you ready? Would this really, really happen? Can we see God face to face? Do we want a life that is completely healed? A life in which everything is reconciled between us and all the people around us, as well as between us and God himself? If you want that, you have it in the cross of Christ who lifts us up. So I encourage you, as we celebrate this Palm Sunday and begin this Holy Week, to make this a special week in your life also. Come to our worship services on Maundy Thursday and on Good Friday. And here's a little assignment. You know I like to give those once in a while. Take this week as an opportunity to read the second half of the Gospel of John. John chapters 12 to 21, where you'll read again the passion of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. And all along the way, as you're reading it, remember that it is the cross that lifts us to salvation and to new life. I want to close with a hymn. We'll be singing many beautiful hymns, some of the most beautiful hymns in the Christian church this week. This one's not in our hymnal, but it's a beautiful hymn by Charles Gabriel, "He Lifted Me." In loving kindness Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim. And from the depths of sin and shame, through grace he lifted me. His brow was pierced with many a thorn, his hands by cruel nails were torn. When from my guilt and grief forlorn, in love he lifted me. Now on a higher plane I dwell, and with my soul I know 'tis well. Yet how or why, I cannot tell, he should have lifted me. Jesus said, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." Amen. Please rise.